Welcome to a podcast of the Mike Novak Show. You can listen to Mike live Sunday mornings from 9 to 11 Central on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. Live from the beautiful Showcase Studios on North Milwaukee Avenue in Chicago, in between Angie's Deli and Lido Banquets, and just a kolachki's throw away from the Polish capital of the Western Hemisphere. It's The Mike Novak Show, Chicago's only locally broadcast deep green gardening and environment program. Heard every Sunday right here on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM.
Good planets are hard to find. Temperate zones and tropic climes. And true currents and thriving seas. Wind blowing through breathing trees. Strong ozone and safe sunshine. Well, good planets are hard to find. Good planets are in the main.
This hour of the Mike Novak Show is brought to you by The Care of Trees. Their business is people and their love for trees. And by Alsip Nursery, offering the best of every season since 1969. He's seriously, strenuously, and severely green, and it gives him a headache every week. Here he is, Mike Novak.
I was kind of hoping to start this off with Mr. Rogers, but that didn't really happen. You don't want to know the day so far. Okay, I'll tell you a little bit about it. It's, the matter. And Denny saw me running in and out.
You were hustling, buddy.
I was hustling. Because it's not good when you get to the radio station and realize all your prep is at home. This is not the way to start a Sunday morning. But I got it. You know, got it all up there.
It's all uphill from here. Right?
Is it?
Right.
Does that mean it's a hard slog? Is that what you're saying?
I'm just trying to say it's going to be good.
It's going to be good. All
it's
right.
It's going to be good.
It is. It's going to be hot. Now, here we are rolling into summer. We still and you know what's amazing, Denny, is that it feels like it's been summer for 2 months, doesn't it?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And here we are. The 10th of June, even, you know, next week, it still won't be summer yet.
And where was spring? We really didn't have much of a spring.
We kind of did. May, sort of. I think May was kind of a spring.
A little.
You know, there was some nice stuff going on there.
So. A day when it was like 40 degrees, whatever.
Well, there was one. But it was fun. There was a day when it was 97 and then it was 45. Okay. And that was spring, folks.
Rick DeMaio, help us.
And he will be here. Thank you for the segue there. He will be here. Did I? Yes. Wait. I have my Java. You know, when you end up running back home, you need your coffee just to get through. Rick DeMaio, weather at 9:45, as always. Today, a lot about food. Starting with a guy who has been doing a Kickstarter campaign, and I need to go on there and see how he's doing because he was getting pretty close to where he needed to be. Well, actually, he passed his goal on Friday, and I think it was just because I booked him on the show. The word got out. People went, wow, yeah, we got to give this guy money. look at that. He's doing great. He's charging through. His name is Todd Jones. He's with an outfit called Every Last Morsel. And, he's raising money, to connect people who want food to people who grow food in the broader sense. And we'll explain what that means, in just a few minutes. And then in the second hour, in my neck of the woods, in my hood, in the Humble Park area, I'm in Logan Square, but really, where my house is more like Humboldt Park. It's right just a couple of blocks away from Humboldt Park. So, in fact, according to something I read yesterday, where I am is the greater Humboldt Park area or neighborhood. And there's a high school there. Dr. Pedro Albizu Campos High School, sometimes called the Puerto Rican High School. And, you know, I should have Lady B in here to talk about that. But Carlos De Jesus is an assistant principal there, and he's a science teacher. And a year ago, and I can't believe it took me this long to catch up with it, a year ago they put a greenhouse up on the roof of the high school to teach kids how to grow stuff and to work with the neighborhood, because it is what they call a food desert, one of those terms that's already overused, but we use it to explain areas of the city. And there are apparently three large food deserts in Chicago. And this is the northernmost section of one of those food deserts. And what do we mean? Well, you basically don't have much access locally to healthy food. So that's their attempt, the high school. And what's cool about the high school, according to Mr. De Jesus, is that it's dropouts, pullouts, and pushouts are who go to that high school. This is a high school where kids who have not fit into other high schools for one reason or another, sometimes just because they were pregnant, end up, and they're doing a fabulous job over there. It's just a remarkable thing. So let's get Todd. Wow, Denny.
We got him.
You are so on top of things here. Cool. So we just go to the phone. Well, I'll tell you what. Before we do that, though, I have to play a little bit of an introduction. And Todd Jones, who is our guest, will recognize this little theme. Are you with me there, Todd? Wait. Thought I had him. Phone one.
Line three.
Oh, line. Yeah, I took line three. Hold on. Do, do, do.
There we go.
There we go. Sorry about that, Todd. How you doing?
Doing well, thanks. How are you?
All right. And this, you'll recognize this music, of course, because this is the music from your Kickstarter campaign.
Absolutely. Rob did a great job composing that.
Yeah, this is done by a local musician, Rob Berry, and he wrote to me and said, hey, you gotta talk to Todd. Todd's doing something really, really cool. And Rob and his wife, Kathy, are regular listeners to the show, and he's a musician. He's out in Elmhurst. And I said, well, sure. And I'll push Rob Berry music every chance I get during the show today. Play a little of that right here. And this is, as I said, the background to your Kickstarter campaign. And before we get into that, let's back up just a little bit, Todd, because how is it that you met Rob Berry, who wrote to me about you?
Well, last year I began offering a personal farming service in the suburbs on the assumption that a lot of people would like to have their own garden and grow their own food, but they didn't necessarily have the time or the knowledge to do it themselves. So if there's room in the marketplace for lawn mowing services, perhaps there was room for farming services as well.
Yeah. Well, although what I'd like to see also more in the lawn mowing area is more organic lawn care service. Now, are you an organic, were you putting in organic gardens?
Yeah, I was filling the beds with compost. That's what I did with Rob and Kathy's garden. We used compost from a place in Wakanda called Midwest Organics, and they do a great job making their compost.
I love them. They're great. They're a great outfit, Midwest Organics. That's one of the terrific places to get compost in the Chicago area.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and so we filled the beds with it, and the plants grew like crazy.
And what you were doing, as you said, you were starting a business where you were helping people get their garden started. And I like the fact that you were doing it in the suburbs, because when we think of urban gardening, we think of the city, but there's a lot of that going on in the suburbs, too.
Absolutely. There's a lot more room for it in many cases.
Well, that's true. A little bit more sun, a little bit more room, maybe not quite as much lead in the soil, although you should always check.
Absolutely.
So how many gardens did you have?
I had about a dozen last year that I had built or maintained in some form or fashion.
Okay. And you found that you needed to keep track of those gardens. What did that entail?
Well, just trying to keep track of what plants were growing at what houses and how much they were producing so I could show my proof of value. And it became quite a challenge to keep all that straight. And I realized that I wasn't the only one doing this. As you've alluded to, there's a lot of urban agriculture programs throughout the city of Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And so I figured if I'm having this trouble, I suspect others might be as well.
And what was the solution to that?
Well, I thought the Internet provided a great platform for people to communicate and collaborate in a variety of different ways. So I thought that it might also prove a solution for this. So I began consulting with my friend Colin, who's a web developer, and we came up with this idea to create a social network of sorts for gardeners and allow them to list what they're growing and how much, and if they're so inclined, push extra produce into a marketplace so people could essentially buy fruits and vegetables from their neighbor's backyard.
So you had, this was not the to help your business at the time. Now you're already sort of looking forward with this, right? When you started categorizing and cataloging what you had in your gardens, the gardens you had created, you realized you could expand this, right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
And when did the idea of the Kickstarter campaign come up?
Well, as we were developing the website, we realized that we were going to need some capital to buy extra resources, people to help us develop it, market the product when it was ready. So we thought that we would use Kickstarter, which is a really brilliant platform that allows people to crowdsource funding for their projects. And you create a video, you put up your story, and you can even put up rewards. And in my case, I partnered with a few local artists, and they did a great job helping us out.
I noticed you have a lot of rewards there, aren't you? You know, that's a lot of logistics, isn't it, to get that stuff out to people when they pledge?
Absolutely. The Kickstarter campaign itself is a full-time job.
So how are you doing any gardening? How are you getting it? You're not getting gardens in right now, I take it.
No, that's... It's a responsibility that I've sort of put on the back burner. I've helped out the people that I promised to last year, but I'm not taking on any new projects in that regard. I'm very focused on the website right now.
See, you're like me, and you're like a lot of people in the business and that I talk to who don't have time for their own gardens. And it's the cobbler's shoes, or the cobbler's children have no shoes, that kind of thing.
Exactly.
All right, well, what we're going to do, hang on a second, and when we come back, I want you to talk about the Kickstarter campaign, where it's gone. We're going to encourage people to go to the Kickstarter campaign, and it is called Where Does Your Garden Grow? And if you've never been to Kickstarter, it's really kind of interesting. As Todd pointed out, people have these ideas, and some of them are really remarkable, and they raise insane amounts of money. You post your idea. You usually put a video up there with it. You explain what you're trying to do, and you set a number that you're trying to raise. Now, in your case, Todd, you said you needed $10,000 to get this thing going. I've seen people put up far less. I've seen people put up more. I've seen people raise over $1 million. You've seen some of these things go viral immediately, and usually the ones that go viral, I don't know if you've noticed, Todd, they're the gadgets. They're the techno gadgets, right?
Mm-hmm. There's a strong incentive for people to buy into those projects because in so many cases, they're basically pre-ordering the product. So if they do meet their goal, then they've bought the product before it's even on the market. And so it works really well with the physical products.
Mm-hmm. And then there are other things like yours. All right. Now, Todd said his goal is $10,000. I'm not going to tell you how much he has yet. We'll do that in just a sec. So hang on. And if you have a question or comment, or you want Todd to come out and put a garden in your yard, even though he doesn't have the time, 773-763-9278. Want to remind people always that the show is podcast afterward. You can get it on my website, MikeNovak.net, or go to iTunes. You can catch me on Facebook. I know people are on Twitter right now tweeting away. Good morning to all the people who are saying hi to me on Twitter. I do appreciate that. And to the folks who are on Facebook as well. And my apologies to William D. Brown. I was going to have Mr. Rogers start and just, what, have you got it? You found it? Okay. I'll tell you what. Let's do that real quick. Can you play it through? Oh, wait.
Yeah, I can play through.
Do I have to have your, hold on. Let me see here. All right, try it now.
Hi, neighbor. Welcome again to this neighborhood. I'd like to show you something. You know what this is? Well, maybe if I press this button. This is a cassette player with a little cassette in here. And there's nothing written on it, so we'll just have to play it to see what it is. Do you ever imagine things? Are they scary things? Are they scary things? Do you ever imagine things? Things you'd like to have? Did you ever see a cat's eyes in the dark and wonder what they were? Did you ever pretend about things like that before? Did you ever grow anything in the garden of your mind? You can grow ideas in the garden of your mind.
See, there we are. It is techno, Mr. Rogers. So thanks, Dennis, for finding
that. That was amazing.
Isn't that cool?
That's great.
That is a link that...
Now, I'm thinking Good Planets Are Hard to Find. That's a good intro song. But I don't know. You might want
to... I might have to throw that in from time to time.
Bring it up in the meeting.
And it... they did a remix, I guess, at PBS... of that, and so and it's got already 2,900,000 hits. Wow. I'll take a few of those hits on my wherever on my website. That'd be nice. I'll tell you what, I have to repost that someplace. If you go to the Mike Novak Show on Facebook and look at recent posts by other, look at the one by William D. Brown. That's where that is right now. If you're like me, which I wouldn't wish on anybody, you look at the calendar and realize that a week from today, it still won't be officially summer. I thought summer started in March, which is why, if you're a gardener, you need the May-June issue of Chicagoland Gardening Magazine, if only to get your head screwed on straight. You've probably heard of a concept called vertical gardening. Our very own Beth Botts writes about it in this issue. She explains the challenges and the advantages of growing plants on walls in Chicago and elsewhere. It's a very trendy concept, so be prepared to be on the cutting edge. Beth, who is apparently a very busy girl, also has a story about arrowwood viburnums, which are not only hardy and beautiful, but they can tolerate a fair amount of shade, which happens quite a bit in the city and the suburbs. Then there's my column on the inside back page. I can tolerate a fair amount of shade, but it makes me want to take a nap. Get a subscription to Chicagoland Gardening Magazine today. Go to chicagolandgardening.com or call 888-265-3600, 888-265-3600.
Hot, dry summers are hard on our lawns and landscapes. Use Milorganite fertilizer to help your lawn and landscape survive the stressful summer season. Hi, I'm gardening expert Melinda Myers. The organic nitrogen in Milorganite is slow release and non-burning, even during drought. The fertilizer will be in place and ready to work when better growing conditions and moisture return, so there's no need to water it in. Plus, the 4% iron promotes deep green growth. Milorganite, for better results naturally. Visit Milorganite.com for a garden center near you.
Tired of spending a lot of time watering your plants to keep them looking their best? Have you heard about Soil Moist? Help your plants survive the stressful heat of the summer with Soil Moist. Mixing Soil Moist's water-absorbing crystals in the soil as you plant can reduce watering frequency by 50%, and that's good for the planet. Soil Moist granules hold over 200 times their weight in water and release it back to the plant as it needs it. Soil Moist is ideal for patio planters and hanging baskets that dry out quickly. Safe and garden-friendly, Soil Moist can be used indoors and out for all of your planting needs. Vegetable gardens, too. The secret of professional growers, Soil Moist. Soil Moist is available in granules, self-watering mats, and plant packs, and is available at leading garden centers. Soil Moist is now available with mycorrhizae. It increases plant growth and establishment with fewer plant waterings.
Dum dum. Jamie Dury, head of the HGTV series The Outdoor Room with Jamie Dury, is coming to Chalet in Wilmette for two fabulous events. Numero uno, a conversation with Jamie Dury is this Thursday, June 14th from 2 to 3 p.m. An afternoon of fun where Jamie will capture your imagination and present new ideas for rediscovering our Midwest gardens and outdoor living spaces. A copy of Jamie Dury's latest book, The Outdoor Room, is included in the price of admission. Seating is limited. And this is Jamie's only Chicagoland appearance, so reserve your seat today. Then later in the day, Chalet's third annual Ladies Night Out with, surprise, Jamie Dury. That happens on June 14th from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. Don't miss out on Jamie's only Chicagoland appearance. And, of course, Chalet will be giving away amazing raffle prizes while you sip wine and munch on appetizers. For more information, go to chaletnursery.com. Chalet is located at Lake Avenue and Skokie Road, just off the Edens Expressway. And they're a proud sponsor of Dig In Chicago. It's the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. And that's, again, music from Rob Berry out in Elmhurst, who put the Kickstarter music together for Todd Jones, who is on the line with me right now. And I guess we can announce, I'm going to call up the Kickstarter page right now. Todd, are you on the page right now?
Yeah.
Okay. The goal was 10,000. Drum roll. What have you got, Todd?
$11,482.
Woo! Nicely done. Nicely done. See, the deal on Kickstarter, if you're not familiar with Kickstarter, if you don't reach your goal, you have to give all the money back, first of all. And then, don't they make it harder for you to get back on if you don't do it the first time?
No, you can still get back on, but the trouble you have is that if you are using your own personal network, it's kind of hard to get them excited again about another attempt.
Yeah. Oh, that's true. That's true. Yeah. The folks, but some people just have idea after idea after idea. Come on. Yeah. I'm going to throw another one at you. Here we go. Well, congratulations, 11,482, and you've got 4 days to go, which and you're allowed to take in as much money as you can possibly raise. Like I said, some of these people have a $20,000 goal and they end up with $1 million. You know, it's just crazy. But let's see if we can get a little more for you. Well, I imagine that's going to help, won't it?
Yeah, absolutely. We're starting to offer the product here in Chicago once it's ready, but we'd certainly love to offer it in cities throughout the United States. So that money would certainly help us reach that goal a bit quicker.
Well, tell us how the product would work. What happens there when you log on to the website and you are looking for food or you have food? How does it happen?
Yeah, when you go to everylastmorsel.com, you can claim your gardening space, say where your garden is, what you're growing, and how much. Create a profile for yourself as well, and we're using the Google Maps API. So you can search in the region by looking at the map and see who's gardening what and where. And if you want to connect with them once the marketplace is ready, you'll be able to click on their profile, and if they're sharing their food, you can buy it from them directly on the site.
And what if you are, if you're a grower, if you are producing the food, how does that work?
Yeah, once you have a harvest or you're about to harvest, you can say how much is ready, and you can push all or some of that into the marketplace if you're so inclined. And then it'll be open to the public or only open to your friends, perhaps. Perhaps you only want to sell to a certain amount of people or certain friends, family, what have you. So those are limitations you'll be able to set up on your account.
How are you dealing with the idea that, you know, some there are laws. There are health laws and other kinds of laws that might get in the way. How does it work around those or with those laws?
Well, within the state of Illinois specifically, you can sell produce so long as it's not processed. So that means the only cutting that can be done to the food is that which is needed to harvest it, and it can be minimally washed. Otherwise, you can sell food from your own backyard, if you're so inclined, or from a small farm. And then the taxation comes into play when you earn more than $600. And I don't expect a lot of people will be earning a tremendous amount of money from selling small amounts of food from their backyard. But if we did have that problem, I'd consider it a very good thing, actually. That would show that people are growing quite a bit of food in their own neighborhoods.
Yeah, and the idea is to get people to grow more, and not only grow more, when they have finished that, be able to hand it off to somebody. And you envision not just sales, but bartering and all kinds of different vehicles for exchanging food, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think all sorts of creative things will happen when you give people an opportunity to very easily share that data and give them the room to play. I think when you create that sort of opportunity for people, they really amaze you. I think the internet is a practice in that.
and it's unlike other. There's a, what's the harvest one? The national
local harvest.
Local harvest, right? How is it different from that?
Local harvest is more like a listing service for small farms, and they have CSA software for farmers as well. So that's where we differentiate, is on scale mostly.
Ah, okay. And this will be for adaptable to pretty much any scale, though, shouldn't it be?
Yeah, I would certainly like to build tools for small farmers as well on the same platform. I think at the core of our service, the product remains the same, which is to map how much food is growing where. And I think that could help small farmers as well.
And when do you envision getting this up and rolling, now that you actually have your money? And I'm telling folks, go to Kickstarter. Actually, go to my – it's easiest if you just go to MikeNovak.net, go to this week's show. Right at the top, you will see a highlighted Kickstarter campaign. Click on that, and it takes you right to the Kickstarter campaign. Where does your garden grow? Is the name of the Kickstarter campaign, and it will take you to every last morsel. And like I said, feel free to add more, because it's going to require a little bit of money to just get things rolling. Have you had people doing this gratis in the meantime?
Yeah, my friend Colin has been donating all his spare time to the project. He's been a huge help. I couldn't have done it without him, and we've had some really great support from designers in the Chicago design community, and all sorts of organizational support as well. And the foodies in the West Loop, some restaurants there, have recently donated some incentives to the campaign, and tremendously grateful for their support.
Yeah, don't forget, if you're on there and you're thinking of donating something, you get some goodies. Like for $5 or more, you get a seed packet. For $10, you get a recycled notebook. For $20, you get reusable shopping bag. Of course, I have a ton of those already. But the $25, you get a poster. You get towels. All right, bowling for towels at $30 and an apron at $40. And like I said, you've got Kathleen was looking at this and because she's thinking of doing a Kickstarter, and she said, wow, they got a lot of swag here that they got to unload.
Well, we certainly hope that your rodeo program will direct some people there.
Well, you're going to, you know, you're going to get the Mike Novak bump here. It does happen. And, you know, if there's a, you know, if some of the money falls out of the wheelbarrow as you're pushing it around, you could toss them my way, I think.
We'll get the rake out.
Yeah, that's right. Todd Jones, congratulations. This sounds like a cool thing. You know, I did recognize, you said you had a lot of support. You've had some press, which is great. I saw some of the people in the video I recognize, like Dave Snyder from, he's the Farmer Dave from the Uncommon Ground Rooftop Organic Farm and Chicago Rarities Orchard Project, where he's going to be growing fruit trees in the city in Logan Square. So, you know, yeah, I can see that you've got that support. That's great. And we need this to be finished so you can go back to actually gardening and putting in gardens for people.
Yes, please. I miss it.
Do you? Well, good. I'm glad to hear that. That's a good response. All right. Todd Jones, every last morsel, go to my website, MikeNovak.net. Go to this week's show. You'll see all the information you can kick on, you can link on to it and then contribute to the Kickstarter campaign. Did I miss anything, Todd?
No, you did not. Thank you very much.
My pleasure. You have a great Sunday, okay?
You as well.
And I guess I should go out with a little more of Rob Berry's music. Oh, it's the party music. And Uncle Denny is shaking it in there. Uncle Denny. Come on, Uncle Denny. Bust a move.
You don't want to see that.
You're right.
Thankfully, this is radio.
Good. When do we get the cameras in here? I'm going to point them right through that glass. All plant life begins with the soil, right? But here's a problem. Due to neglect or worse mismanagement with chemicals, many yards don't have healthy soil. That's where Dr. Earth comes in. Dr. Earth can return life to your soil with probiotics. Probiotics is a soil inoculant created by Dr. Earth himself, Milo Seamus. He was on the program just last week. It consists of soil bacteria and mycorrhizal fungi that break down organic materials, make nutrients available to your plants, and help suppress pathogens. Find out for yourself. Dr. Earth is sold only at local independent garden centers. Go to drearth.com to find a dealer near you. Doctor your earth with Dr. Earth.
I love gardening. What I don't love to see is deer and rabbits destroy my beautiful plants.
Why let your garden be destroyed? Plant Skid Repellent protects your garden, trees, and landscaping from wildlife damage. Made in the USA from 100% organic environment and pet-friendly ingredients, Plant Skid is the number one, most tested, most effective, and longest-lasting deer and rabbit repellent you can buy. It lasts up to 6 months over winter and 3 to 4 months during the active spring-summer growing season. Unlike other repellents, Plant Skid will not wash off in the rain and is guaranteed to outlast and outperform all other repellents. Plant Skid is OMRI listed organic and is proven effective protection from deer, rabbits, squirrels, and other small rodents. That's why Plant Skid is used by leading forest companies, nurseries, and conservation agencies and is member tested and recommended by the National Home Gardening Club. Locate a dealer nearest you at plantskid.com. Proven plant protection, guaranteed, or your money back.
Plant Skid. That's spelled plant, SKYDD. Plant Skid.
Is pain keeping you from enjoying gardening? Dr. Bonnie Flaster at River North Wellness Center has gentle and effective techniques to get you out of pain and back to doing what you love. Here are two quick tips. First, remember to stretch. Second, use a timer to make sure you take breaks. Come see her at River North Wellness Center and find more tips at rivernorthwellness.com or call 312-642-7545 to make an appointment with Dr. Flaster and get back to feeling good.
I almost forgot
Want to make a positive move in the housing market? Replace your siding and windows. You'll improve your home's look and energy efficiency, too.
Trust DR Services Unlimited, 847-998-1687 for your remodeling and energy needs. Siding, windows, solar and wind power, and more. Rated A-plus by the Better Business Bureau and recommended on Angie's List. DR is a proud member of NARI. DR provides exceptional quality at a fair price. Contact DR at 847-998-1687 or at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
And like I was saying before I was so rudely interrupted, there is another Kickstarter that I just got wind of yesterday that is local as well, and about farming. It's called Ethnic Heritage Garden for the Howard Street Farm. And it's a group called the Heritage Harvesters, and part of a community of folks who are passionate about urban agriculture and sustainable practices. They want to help the community locally, limit the use of chemicals, live healthier, more socially connected lives. And they want to build the Ethnic Heritage Garden. They live in Skokie, Evanston, Lincolnwood, Morton Grove, Wilmette, and northern Chicago neighborhoods like Rogers Park and Edgewater. And again, they're going to build the Ethnic Heritage Garden. The raised beds would be built on the Howard Street Farm in Skokie. The communities are diverse. There are 94 languages spoken by the kids who attend Skokie and Evanston area schools. I had no idea. Wow. And the Ethnic Heritage Garden celebrates the diversity by bringing together local cultural groups to grow specific veggies and herbs that are part of their parents' or their grandparents' heritage. Actually, we'll talk about that in the second hour, you know, when Carlos de Jesus is here from Dr. Pedro Albizu Campos High School in Humboldt Park. So, but back to the ethnic, it's called the Ethnic Heritage Garden for the Howard Street Farm. They've got 17 days left on their Kickstarter. They're only trying to raise $3,500, and they're at $3,200 already. So this could be a really good start for them. So I wanted to make sure that I got that information out as well, and I can't remember exactly where I saw that, but I'm glad it came. I'm pretty sure I know where it came from. Actually, it was through Advocates for Urban Agriculture. I'm on their listserv, and stuff pops up from them, and that was one of the things. So again, Ethnic Heritage Garden for the Howard Street Farm on Kickstarter. Here's a tip from the Care of Trees and Illinois Extension. Sometimes trees are unhappy not because of insects or diseases, but because of other factors. One Extension Home Yard and Garden Pest newsletter notes that among the things that can stress trees are improper planting, wrong planting zone, non-native plant species, incorrect soil type, compaction, soil pH too high or low, inadequate fertility, too much shade or sun, too wet or dry, crowded planting, construction after planting, or just not suitable for an urban setting. Yikes. There's a lot that can go wrong. There's a lot that can go right, too. You need to think about these things because if you think everything can be solved by reaching for a spray can or a load of fertilizer, think about whether your tree is the right plant in the right place and invite the certified arborist at the Care of Trees to take a look and get their opinion. See thecareoftrees.com or call 847-394-4220, 847-394-4220. The Care of Trees, their business is people and their love for trees. And I want to advise you not to be a tool. That is, get your gardening tools from Pesci's. They carry gadgets for gardeners of all ages and abilities, from tried and true traditional favorites like trowels to the newest gadgets for gardeners with restrictions. Remember, not all tools have blades. Pesci's carries items like the rocker stool, an ergonomic seat that leans to extend your reach and prevent strain in your shoulders, lower back, and knees. They also carry items like the garden kneeler, which features arms to help you get up and down, as well as knee pads and kneeling pads, which let you get where the action is without the pain. Choose from quality brands such as Felco, Fiskars, Dram, and more. While you're there, pick up some annuals, perennials, fruit trees or shrubs, seed and starting supplies, and of course, vegetables, all of their veggies are free of sprays and fertilizers. And pick the brains of their knowledgeable staff about any questions you may have regarding your garden's progress. Dr. Wally's Tip of the Week is next hour. Pesci's Garden Center is just minutes off of I-294 at 170 South River Road in Des Plaines. For more information, visit them online at Pesci's.com. Pesci's, three generations of attentive service, expert advice, and uncompromising quality. More music from that crazy Rob Berry. Sent me a few things, so I thought I'd play a few of them. Oh, we got a... Mr. Dennis, I know we got Mr. DeMaio.
We also have Fred and Dwight. Got a question about his yard.
Oh, okay. Well, hold on. I'm going to connect so I can see who you've got there. Boom, buddy, boom. There we go. All right, first, well, let's bring in Rick first. Rick DeMaio, good morning.
Doing, Mike? Good morning.
How are you?
Good. You could talk to Fred from Dwight as well.
Well, that's all I was going to do, but I was going to bring you in because you never know when you're going to have some advice here too. Right?
I'll hold off in the wings and I'll set the table and Fred can cook the dinner. How about that?
Okay. Fred, you're on the Mike Novak Show. Good morning.
Good morning. I had taken an older house, raised it up, and all the spoils of dirt from underneath build my basement. I scattered throughout the yard because I was quite a bit lower. I've added 35 ton of black dirt on my property, and then I planted a decent grass and I got it at FS store. I still got splotchy places where the no grass is coming in at all. Now I've got lots of shade, so I bought a shade seed. Anything else I should be doing to ensure that I have a decent new yard?
Well, how deep is that? I know you said you put a lot of soil there. How deep did you take it? Because a lot of times when this construction happens, they wipe off the topsoil, 6 inches of topsoil and give you 2 inches back. You know, of course you did it yourself. I take it.
That's true. Yeah, I did it myself. I put the spoils on top of what actually is 2.5 feet of black dirt.
Wow.
It's a 115-year-old property.
Uh-huh.
So the black dirt's pretty thick. I broadcasted some of my spoils on it. It probably didn't amount to much more than a couple inches.
Wait, when you say broadcast your spoils on it, I'm sorry.
Backfilling. After I dug my basement.
But you put the soil on top of that, right?
I put six good loads of black dirt on top of that. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds like you've got to. Did it include any compost, or was it just black topsoil?
Black dirt.
Yeah.
Just black dirt. I should have put some compost in it. Maybe.
Well, it depends on how good the soil is. I mean, what kind of a mix that is. Some people, I doubt that there's compost mixed in there. It sounds to me like the soil or the grass seeds should germinate. Now, how long have you been trying to do this?
I have decent-looking grass in most spots. I have some bare spots here and there. The weeds I'm really struggling with, but I haven't sprayed anything yet.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to say I did this 11th of April was when I...
All right. And were you consistent in your watering, making sure it stayed moist? Because that's when you're spreading seed, that's the key. You really, really have to be super consistent in watering so that the seed will germinate.
I kept it saturated. I didn't keep it soaked. I kept it pretty saturated.
Mm-hmm. And you say the mix is a shade mix. I assume you've got some fescues in there.
Fescue, 50%.
Mm-hmm. What was it? But it's pretty shady.
I've got catapas and silver maples.
Yeah. Well, I think it sounds like you're doing pretty well, actually, all things
Anything
considered.
Anything else I need to be doing?
In the places that don't seed, I would say continue to overseed. Now, part of the problem is that we're getting into the period of the year where where it's not a great idea to seed because we're getting into the warm weather.
I reseeded, I'd have to say, 3 weeks ago.
Okay, I wouldn't do it
and
again.
It rained right after I reseeded. I mean, almost 15 minutes after I shut the door, came back inside.
Well, that's good because you've gotten a little of the water. I just got a text from Jennifer Brennan. Says water is the limiting factor this season, and it is. That's part of our problem. We're really dry. And considering you say it looks pretty good in spots, and that it, and there's a few places that I didn't go. You know what my advice would be? Keep doing what you're doing, and then in the fall, as we get to the end of August, beginning of September, reseed again in the bare spots. See what the water is like. We hope it gets better, and Rick's going to tell us why, what's going on here what's the precip, Rick, for the next few weeks?
Well, for the next few weeks, that's a little bit more of an advanced, a little bit more involved question, but at least I know through this week, we're probably going to see maybe an inch and a half of rain beginning, late Monday afternoon into Tuesday.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, so
that's going to help.
That's going to help, definitely.
Yeah, Fred. And then I would say don't do any more seeding until the fall. And water well the grass you do have, that is doing well. And then see if you can fix those bare spots in the fall. It sounds like you're doing everything pretty much right now.
You wouldn't. I put 10-10-10 on when I seeded the first time. I just heard a commercial for soil amender. Would that be anything I should be looking at, or just leave it alone and let it do its thing?
I think leave it alone, let it do its thing right now. Cool. And water is going to be key. You're going to have your hands full if it's a dry summer as it is. When you get to the fall and things are cooler again, then reseed on the spots. All right. Well, good luck to you.
Thank you.
Take care, and thanks for listening. Bye-bye.
Yep. Bye.
Let's see. There we go. Rick, how are you?
Good morning, Mike.
So there you go. So we are going to get a little rain here.
We're going to get a little rain, and I have to put some conditions on that forecast. That rainfall is going to be mainly east of a line. I think the heaviest is probably going to be from, maybe Kankakee, extreme southeast part of Chicago up into northwest Indiana, and it all depends on how this tropical wave that came on shore yesterday in parts of extreme southeast Louisiana, Alabama, also Mississippi and the Florida Panhandle kind of take some of this deeper moisture and pulls it off to the east. We do have a frontal boundary that's trying to push its way across the upper Midwest, but unfortunately the real deep moisture from the Gulf of Mexico may actually be shunted off to the east. So when I say an inch and a half to an inch, that's probably more so to the south and east of us, probably in the Chicago metropolitan area from, say, maybe Midway to O'Hare. You go 10, 15 miles either side of a line of that. maybe only about a half inch to three-quarters of an inch. Then you go further west, and it could be less than a quarter of an inch. So it all depends on whether or not this tropical system slows itself down a little bit, allows some of the moisture to get kind of caught up into this weak frontal boundary. I shouldn't say weak, but it's weakening, and it has been pretty strong across the western high plains. But the bottom line is, Mike, we desperately need rain. Even when we talked about this last week, I said if we get anything over the next 7 days, it would probably be less than a tenth of an inch, and we actually got less than that. We got nothing. And literally for the first 10 days, of the month of June, we've had 0.01 inches of precipitation.
I know.
It's been terrible. I mean, you go all the way back to May the 7th, Mike, we have had exactly one day since May the 7th of a rainfall of more than an inch, and that was on the 31st of May where we got that nice soaking. So we desperately need some steady soaking rainfall. And even if we get something coming out of this thing coming Monday afternoon to Monday night, we actually go back into a dry pattern then for the rest of the week.
Yikes. Yeah, and Jennifer was just texting me because she knows. She says, she got all, you did the bait and switch there, Rick. You got her all excited with the rain, the idea of an inch of rain, and then you said, well, maybe not everybody. And
right.
And she texted me, oh, it's going south, bummer.
Well, And again, it, you know, tropical systems, it doesn't have a tropical name to it, but tropical characteristics, sometimes they change every 6 to 8 hours. And, you know, there were some reports of over 15 inches of rain down across, you know, the Gulf Coast yesterday. And, you know, when you go west of a line from about, say, New Orleans or at least Baton Rouge up to about Little Rock, there's basically nothing. And that's sometimes how tropical systems work. And, you know, like, oftentimes when we get into this warm weather, we talk about evaporation rates, and some of your listeners have been following us. These discussions about 2 weeks ago, we were talking about evaporation rates, and these are measured from the Botanic Gardens and also the campus out at NIU in DeKalb. About 2 or 3 weeks ago, because the sun angle was lower, temperature was lower, ground was a little bit more saturated, we'll call a little bit more moist, evaporation rates were about a quarter of an inch, and right now they're running about 0.38 to about 0.45. So over the course of, you know, 2.5 to 3 days, particularly with this amount of sunshine, which I had just read from Frank Wachowski, who's a retired Weather Service forecaster down in the Midway area, this is one of the sunniest periods ever, dating back to 1988 for the first 10 days of June. And I keep saying, if it was with, if we didn't have this kind of cooler pattern over the Northeast, this pattern nationwide looks a lot like May and June of 1988, when we basically went into a drought and we had pretty much no rainfall across all the Midwest for almost a month and a half. Now, it doesn't look like that's going to happen, but this has been an exceptionally sunny period for the first 10 days of June, and one of the sunniest periods ever for the month of May. So while the weather's been nice, it's getting a lot of people in the agricultural business very, very nervous, because we haven't really had the hot temperatures, and you notice people haven't been complaining about the heat because we really haven't had the humidity. Even yesterday's dew points were in the 40s. Today they'll get a little bit higher, but people tend to judge how warm it is, not so much on the temperature, but how high the humidity is. And then they begin to complain about it. And we'll be complaining a little bit more today, but we definitely are in deep, deep need of some rain, Mike.
I was looking at the information that Pat Skatch sent to us, and I love his he's always got something interesting. And he was looking at June 1st through June 10th of 2012, and the one day, as you said, we've had 1/100th of an inch of rain.
Yeah, which is basically nothing.
Yeah, and the past year's experiencing 1/100th of an inch or less, June 1st through June 10th, there are only 8. The last one was 1994. And then, and the one before that was, as you said, 1988. And I remember 1988.
Oh, my God, yeah.
What a dry and hot. I believe we had like 47 90-degree days in 1988.
47 days above 90. We had 7 days above 100. And the amount of dryness that developed over the Central Plains kind of expanded, as droughts normally do. And I think the agricultural losses that year were well over $10 billion. I mean, it was just a drought that we have not seen around here since probably the mid to late 30s. Now, we're obviously not going to get into that, but I was down at a aviation weather workshop in Kansas City on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, and everybody was talking about how different this spring looks compared to last year, and how lucky we've been, only because even though we've been relatively dry, we also had a period of coolness there during the month of April. But I was talking to people from Colorado, from Nebraska, from Kansas, from Missouri, and everybody was just constantly talking about how warm the winter was, how bizarre the March warmth was. People were talking about how, you know, people who, you know, have to obviously worry about, you know, plowing snow got hit with a loss, but the airlines loved it because they didn't have to worry about de-icing, and people were talking about how their gardens are doing something they've never seen before. So this pattern that we've been in, you know, stretches pretty much from the Western Ohio Valley all into the Great Plains. And, you know, I was just reading earlier today about how some fruit farmers are already looking at, really, really low yields coming up in northern Minnesota, or at least northern Wisconsin, the upper peninsula of Michigan, already looking at their harvest. As we talked about fruit farmers in lower Michigan, they're already talking about how their harvest looked bad for the upcoming fall, and even in the upper parts of the Midwest. So it's interesting. We're going to see more and more of this particularly because things have gotten, you know, nipped because of the cold weather in spring. But now we're getting into this dryness, and you know that's another caveat that you have to throw into it. Things start early, but then they get dry. Then what do you do to actually, you know, help them along? So
yeah,
it'll be an interesting, you know, beginning of summer here, and see how things kind of transition over the next couple of weeks, without a doubt.
All right. Well, we'll get a little rain this week. It's probably not going to be much. Some of you, I assume, might not get anything. But like you said, it could change. The character of that front
that
could change.
That tropical system to the south.
Yeah. All right. So give us that forecast again, then, Rick.
Okay. So bottom line, yesterday made it up to 90. We had dew points in the upper 40s today. 92 for a high, but dew points in the upper 50s. Rain arrives tomorrow midday, ends probably by early Tuesday morning. Temperatures tomorrow probably upper 80s, and then 70s for Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And then the next best chance of rain, Mike, probably not until next Saturday. So we go into a dry period after that. And you know what? The pattern overall looks to be very repetitive over the next 3 or 4 weeks.
All right. Water infrequently but deeply. That's
Water everywhere, but not where it should be, and definitely not over us.
All right. Rick DeMaio Weather. Go to DeMaioWeather.com or go to my website, MikeNovak.net, on the homepage. Rick, we'll talk to you next week.
Have a good week, Mike.
You too. Bye.
This hour of the Mike Novak Show is brought to you by The Care of Trees, their business is people and their love for trees, and by Alsip Nursery, offering the best of every season since 1969. Here he is again, Mike Novak.
Yeah, that'll get your blood going on a Sunday morning.
Good music going today.
Yeah, and some of it original that we were playing earlier. Welcome to the second hour of the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. I'm very happy to have in the studio Carlos De Jesus, and I was looking at Carlos, by the way, good morning.
Good morning.
Looking at something you sent me or something that was online, is that your full name? What's your full name?
Carlos De Jesus Rivera.
Rivera. Mm-hmm. Now, why don't you use the Rivera more often? How does that work?
Well, in the United States, usually you use the paternal last name. In mm-hmm. Puerto Rico, where I'm from, and in most of Latin America, you use the paternal and maternal. Mm-hmm. And so Rivera is my maternal, my mom's maiden name.
Okay. Well, I'll just jot that down for further reference. And Carlos is assistant principal at Dr. Pedro Abisu Campos High School. Did I say that close?
You said it perfectly.
And that's in Humboldt Park, corner of California and Division. And it's kind of in my neck of the woods, so I feel like you're a neighbor, and you started there as a science teacher.
That's correct. My background has been in science. Actually, believe it or not, I was a medical student, after 2.5 years, I decided that really wasn't my calling, and so I've been in alternative education ever since.
Alternative education, and you know, I mentioned that earlier, that this is a school. How is it you describe it? You have a saying about who is at this school.
Well, yeah, the students that we serve, and really our school has been around for 40 years now. We've always served students who have dropped out, been pushed out or been pulled out of public education, also other Catholic and private schools, but primarily public education.
And what do you mean when you say they've dropped out, pushed? Well, we get that, but pushed out or pulled out?
Yeah, pushed. We consider push outs students who didn't leave their previous high school by choice. They were asked to leave by the administration. And that could be for a variety of reasons. And a pullout is a student who has been pulled out from the previous school by their parents who felt, or their guardians who felt, that they weren't getting an adequate education. And so students like that come to our school.
Now, I would say, you know, if you told me that and I didn't know anything else about the school, I would say, ooh, I bet this school, I bet these kids are trouble. I bet this is, you know, it's something you'd see as a movie script. And then Harrison Ford comes in and he teaches them how to respect each other and become good citizens. But it's really not like that, is it?
No, not at all. And it's amazing the quality of students that we serve and historically have served at our school. And, you know, Mike, the majority of students leave school, drop out of school, not for academic reasons. There are a number of reasons why students leave school. I've been working in this now for over 20 years, and I'm always impressed with the abilities of students who come to our school, the talent that's there. And something I hadn't mentioned to you, Mike, but I, too, am a high school dropout.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I was back in the 70s, when I was in high school, I dropped out for 2 years. Then I returned to school. It was a new school, new administration, and I was really encouraged to return. I ultimately returned, finished, went on to Yale. I graduated from Yale University.
Hmm.
So that is to say that students who drop out aren't necessarily dropping out for academic reasons.
Well, why did you drop out?
Well, back then, I didn't have much of a sense of wanting to go to college. I really wanted to be an automotive mechanic.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I dropped out of school.
Can you work on my car now?
No, not really.
You can't? All right.
No, not with all the electronic ignition
stuff. The engine light's on right now. I want you to go out there and take a look at it.
Now, if you have a car from the 70s, I might be able to tune it up. Overhaul it.
Yeah. But very first car I ever drove. The very first car I ever owned was a Gremlin.
Mm.
And boy, that was a hunk of junk. those were bad cars.
They were all lemons.
Oh, they were. Every single, you know, and my parents owned a Pacer. It's like a Wayne's World thing. And I would drive that Pacer around, man. They're just goofy cars. The 70s. And I worked on the assembly line in Detroit. Oh, yeah. A Lynch Road assembly line building Chryslers, Satellite Sebrings, and Dodge Chargers.
Mm-hmm.
And it would help, you know, pay my way through school. But it's interesting because at that same time you were dropping out, here I was working, and I hated the assembly line. But and what everybody told me, the people who were on the assembly line would say, don't end up like me. Get your degree. Go back to school. I mean, make sure. I wasn't in any danger of dropping out. Although later in my life, I thought it might have been good for me to take a couple of years off from college, because I was one of those kids who for whom dropping out was not an option.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my parents would have tanned my hide, all right? I would have had to have run away. But so, you know, I just sort of charged through, got out of college, and felt like, oh, you know, wish I'd seen a little more of the year, more of the world, and understood how valuable education is. And then I think I would have applied myself a lot harder in college.
Absolutely. Well, you know, the reason I dropped out was that, as I said, I wanted to be a mechanic, and I wanted to go to automotive school. At that time, you didn't need a high school diploma to be a mechanic. So I worked in a factory during the day so that I could pay for automotive school at night. And I became a certified mechanic, and I did that for a while. And ultimately, as I said, I returned to school because I wanted to learn more about automotive. And one of the counselors there suggested, well, if you like working on cars, have you thought about designing engines? If you like working on engines, have you thought about designing engines? And that was a question that really turned my world around, a simple question by an educator. And that really has inspired me after going to Yale, going to medical school here at University of Illinois. And when I decided to pull out of medical school, the first thought was to go into education to inspire students who had dropped out. And so I've been working with high school dropouts all along.
We're talking to Carlos De Jesus Rivera in some places, in some places just Carlos De Jesus, with the Dr. Pedro Albizu Campos High School in Humboldt Park. All right, so let's get back to the idea. You've got these kids in there, and they've gone from one situation that was tough. They've come into another situation. And this is not even addressing the horticultural aspect of what you're doing. How do you get their attention?
Well, I think one of the difficulties of students is, who particularly students who have had a horrific experience in high school up to that point, or even in elementary school up to that point, is to rekindle their, you know, humans are a curious species, and we are naturally inclined to learn. We always are interested in trying to figure out what, how things work. What happens in poor educational systems is that that sort of gets extinguished, that sort of desire to learn. And our role is to try to rekindle the interest in learning, the love of learning. And so the way that we do that is that we try to make our curriculum as practical, as applied as possible. Our curriculum is still based around the state standards, which are required of all schools. But the way that we approach all of these concepts is to try to make them as applied as possible, to try to make them as relevant as possible. And that has, I think, it helps students to get a sort of different perspective on education. And so specifically what we do is that we build community. The idea is that, you know, Humboldt Park has in Westtown, parts of Logan Square have a lot of issues. And so we believe that students from the community should be prepared to be community leaders. I mean, these are our future, right?
Well, but to be fair, you have the majority of the students are Latino.
That's correct.
And mostly Puerto Rican.
That's correct.
And some Mexican, some others. Mm-hmm. As Puerto Rican, of Puerto Rican heritage, it would seem that they would want to be part of the community.
Absolutely. But the issue is that that's not really how schools are oriented. And so for us, I think one of the main things that we try to accomplish is to reconnect the student with community. The idea that the health of the individual is intimately and inexorably tied to the well-being of the community, and vice versa. You know, mm-hmm. The well-being of the community is highly dependent on the well-being of the youth, and so and the community residents. And so we try to take a look at all of the issues that are impacting the community. And we work with students and challenge them to work at making the community better. And so really that's where the urban agriculture program
Because,
got its origin.
Right. Let's face it, you look around and you know this because you've seen the studies, you've read the studies, you know what's going on in the world and the idea that we have food deserts. And, you know, it's interesting, that concept is just making its way into the consciousness of the the population at large. But there are already people who live in those areas who resent it and really hate that phrase.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how else you describe. I mean, I think it's an accurate phrase because you know, in those areas you can't get access. You don't have access to fresh local food, and that's what you're trying to change in that area. But it is funny that already at this point, just as the general public is beginning to understand that there is such an area, the people who live in those areas don't want to hear it. You know, mm-hmm. We're moving on. We've identified the problem. Now we need to fix it.
Well, you know, the thing is that the food desert concept, it's other people have different perspectives on it. And I believe that it's not necessarily a food desert. I think it's an investment desert. These are generally food deserts are communities that are disinvested in. These are communities that in the past have had big box grocers like Jewel and Dominick's. But those stores move out as the community changes. And so consequently, most of these communities had depended on the big box grocers to be able to buy produce.
Let me ask you something about that, because you talk about these grocery stores moving out, and not to assign blame, but how does that happen? Who's, you know, the grocery store is in it to make money. All right, so they feel like they're not going to make money here for some reason. The community needs the food. How is it that they allow this to happen, where these stores disappear, sort of melt away, and then suddenly you look up and for 20 years you haven't had a grocery store? Why you say, and as you pointed out, you're not investing in your own neighborhood and your kids. As you told me when I went to visit you there, they figured it out for themselves. They went out in the street, they talked to people, they did interviews, and realized we're not investing in our own neighborhood. So how does that happen in a neighborhood? Is it all tied to money? Is it all tied to wealth?
Well, I think as a community becomes more impoverished, then I think the logic of the big box grocers, and I'm certainly not a spokesman of theirs.
Mm-hmm. If you know, they want to call in 773-763-9278.
Yeah, because my assessment is that as a community becomes more impoverished, they're concerned that they're not going to be able to have the same sort of profit level that they had previously, and so consequently, they move their business.
Mm-hmm.
In these communities, the mom and pop stores weren't able to compete for produce with a Jewel and the Dominick's. And then once the big boxes leave, the mom and pop don't sell produce, and so consequently, the whole community is left without a place where they can buy fresh produce. Mm. And so the challenge is to either stimulate the big boxes to move back in, which I doubt would happen,
sometimes there's the pressure. You beat up on them, you whoop them upside the head with a rolled up newspaper and say, hey, you know, you guys should be in this neighborhood. And you get people like Rahm Emanuel, you know, and now that's kind of his direction with the food desert issue. Is his incentive is to get the big stores, the Walmarts, the Walgreens, into these neighborhoods, but you're going in a different direction.
Yeah, I think that the energies of the administration should be oriented more toward incenting the mom and pop stores. All of these neighborhoods have corner grocery stores. Unfortunately, most of them do not sell produce because these corner grocery stores are working on such a tight profit margin that to sell perishables might just put them under. And so that's always been the concern. And so if these stores would be incented in some ways, helped to be able to provide produce in such a way that they wouldn't necessarily cause them to go under, then I think we might be able to start looking at ways to solve the food desert.
Well, I want to get to the specifics of what you're doing at the high school. That is Carlos De Jesus, who's the assistant principal at what they – and this was really fascinating. You said the official charter, and it is a charter school.
Yes.
Lists the high school's name as the Puerto Rican High School.
Yeah, that's correct. That's how we were first founded,
yeah.
The Puerto Rican High School.
That to me it says a lot right there. But now it's called Dr. Pedro Albizu Campos High School in Humboldt Park. And we're going to talk about what they did in the last few years to try to solve the issue of local food in the neighborhood. We'll be back with that in your you're welcome to call in 773-763-9278. If you know, you got comments about where we're going with urban agriculture in the city of Chicago, what direction you think we should be headed in, give us a holler, 773-763-9278.
Tired of spending a lot of time watering your plants to keep them looking their best? Have you heard about Soil Moist? Help your plants survive the stressful heat of the summer with Soil Moist.
Mixing Soil Moist's water-absorbing crystals in the soil as you plant can reduce watering frequency by 50%, and that's good for the planet. Soil Moist granules hold over 200 times their weight in water and release it back to the plant as it needs it. Soil Moist is ideal for patio planters and hanging baskets that dry out quickly. Safe and garden-friendly, Soil Moist can be used indoors and out for all of your planting needs. Vegetable gardens, too. The secret of professional growers, Soil Moist. Soil Moist is available in granules, self-watering mats, and plant packs, and is available at leading garden centers. Soil Moist is now available with mycorrhizae. It increases plant growth and establishment with fewer plant waterings.
Carlos, I was just got a tweet here. Walmart sells GMO. They are not welcome in many communities. Yeah, that's one of the issues. But then most of those stores sell GMO products.
That's right.
We're surrounded by GMO products. Okay, those are. But I appreciate your comments. And I got another comment that I'm going to get to in a second from Tree Guardian 2, who sent something in. If you're going to visit a garden center, why not make it an event, a place that is a destination and a delight? That place is Spring Bluff Nursery and Garden Center, located on a beautiful, historic 19th century farm, complete with a farmhouse, just 15 minutes from the Fox River in Sugar Grove, Illinois. Right now, save 25% on PJM rhododendrons until June 20th. Annuals are now on sale while supplies last. Plantix ceramic pots, 10% off, and annual hanging baskets are 25% off. All other annuals and vegetables are 50% off, excluding herbs. And fresh eggs are available when their hens are laying. I've been out there. It's fun. They've got the hens out there. On June 23rd and 24th, Saturday from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., and Sunday from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m., take advantage of their free garden hand tool sharpening. Yeah, like I said, free. Spring Bluff Nursery and Garden Center is located at the corner of Bliss and Norris Roads, just north of I-88 in Sugar Grove. Find them at springbluffnursery.com. Spring Bluff is a proud sponsor of Dig In Chicago. Now, Denny, I'm going to... I want to play this. I'm not sure what's going to play when I play this, so I'm going to give it a shot, and we'll see what happens here. Yeah, that's what I thought. Okay.
Tired of spending a lot of time watering.
No, that's not the one I wanted. Okay. Let's see if we can get this one. Stop. Oops.
Soil Moist.
No, it's still doing that. Wow. That's interesting. All right. The computer's acting kind of funny at the moment. We'll see what we can maybe give Mr. Sanders a holler here. Okay. Plants such as hydrangeas and azaleas love acidic conditions, so feed them some Acid Lovers planting mix from Dr. Earth. The probiotic blend creates the perfect soil conditions to promote health in acid-loving plants, including maples and evergreens. Rich in natural cottonseed meal, Acid Lovers planting mix is great to use as an amendment for bare root planting, and it's excellent for use in raised beds. Doctor Your Earth with Doctor Earth, the multivitamin for your garden. 35 million satisfied customers, can't be wrong. Visit DrEarth.com to find a dealer near you. And that was that. All right. As I said, I got an interesting tweet here from Tree Guardian 2, and he's got a real good point. It goes back to the phone call I had earlier about the guy who had put down the soil and was trying to get his grass to grow and is having a little spotty. And he says, worried about your caller with the grass seed, how much soil did he add over the tree roots? Too much will suffocate them. And he's right, or she's right, Tree Guardian. It's just you can't. I'm hoping that he was smart about where he put the soil. You really can't pile it up on top of tree roots. You know, and one of the things that people do in the city is they put these boxes. They've got a tree in a parkway, and they think, I'm going to plant some stuff around the tree. And now I'm sure this is something you might know about, Carlos, and so they create a raised bed around the tree, and they bury the tree, and you know it shoots up out of this raised bed, and you're killing your tree when you do that. You really can't bury the roots, and you certainly don't want the bark to be buried under soil because that's going to cause problems. So, to my caller who was doing that, I hope that I hope he took good care of his trees and didn't bury them too much. In the studio, Carlos De Jesus, assistant principal, Dr. Pedro Albizu Campos High School in Humboldt Park. All right, let's get back to what you had your kids. You had an interest in urban ag to begin with, right? Is that how this all came up?
Well, you know, actually, this whole not really.
Oh,
It's interesting that I come from a family of farmers, sharecroppers in Puerto Rico, but I came here when I was six, so I never really experienced that. And here I am 50 years later, and it's like full circle. Now I'm elbows deep in agriculture. But this really started about 6 years ago at the end of a semester, the end of the school year. I had students bring in some 2-liter plastic bottles to do a rudimentary hydroponic system, just as a way to end the year for them. Mm. I had them develop this rudimentary system, had them plant some beans, and by the time they left, the beans had germinated and there was the primary leaves were up. They go off for the summer. When they come back, there are beans all over the place, and so they were so enthused by it. As we were talking earlier, that how important it is to be able to rekindle students' interest in learning.
Why is it always beans? It's amazing. Beans are the greatest seed ever because there isn't a kid or an adult that doesn't wonder at the magic as the seed sprouts.
That's right.
And then they're big, and they're you can see them, you know.
The germination rate is so great on the beans, and they grow so quickly. And so I wanted for the students to experience that. And when they came back at the beginning of the new school year, as I said, there were beans all over the place. And that really inspired them. So I was ready to move on to other lessons, but I saw that there was an interest there. And so consequently, there had been a series of studies that I had become familiar with. One of them was Mari Gallagher's study on food deserts.
Right.
And another there was a series of studies on health disparities that was put out by the Sinai Urban Health Institute. And so I was really enthralled by the fact that our community was the northernmost part of the northernmost food desert, according to Mari Gallagher's study. And I had the students read the studies, both Mari Gallagher's and Mount Sinai Urban Health Institute studies. And I challenged them. For 6 weeks, we did something called project-based learning. I posed a problem to them. This was a group of 12 students. Posed a problem. I said, look, our community has been designated a food desert. We have a high prevalence, a very high prevalence of obesity, diabetes, hypertension, hypercholesterolemia, coronary artery disease, and stroke. And so I challenged the students to research all of that and to come up with solutions. And so for 6 weeks, I gave them laptops. They did their own research, and they came up with solutions. And one of the things that they realized in terms of a food desert was the sort of disinvestment that I had mentioned earlier. And so they decided that a solution was for the community to grow its own food. And
they came up with this on their own?
Yeah, very much so.
Because, as you said, you didn't – you gave them a puzzle to solve, but you really didn't push them that hard in that direction, I take it.
That's right. Really, the whole concept of project-based learning is for the facilitator or the teacher to pose a problem and have the students research their own solutions. And so I would help them with technical things like, how to do research and that sort of thing. But in terms of the content, that was completely on them. And so they researched what a food desert was. They researched the factors that contribute to obesity. They realized that obesity is a gateway for other illnesses like diabetes. The concept was that, you know, they urged us to start growing our own food. And then the question became, well, where do we grow food? well, they suggested, well, aren't there any vacant lots? And so our community is...
Yeah, come on. It's Humboldt Park. There's plenty of vacant lots there, right?
Yeah, well, the reality is that there isn't. In Humboldt Park, there aren't a lot of vacant lots. And those that are vacant are cost prohibitive in terms of being able to purchase.
And as you and we don't have to name names here, but as you pointed out, a lot of that land was snapped up decades ago, and people sit on it and hope to make their fortunes. And as a result, they put these ridiculous price tags on. As you said the other day when I came by, I thought it was pretty funny. A vacant lot, and it's vacant, might go for $200,000.
That's right.
And you said that's an expensive tomato.
That's exactly right. I mean, imagine paying $200,000 for a vacant lot to then use it for urban agriculture. Mm-hmm. The idea that, so I asked the students, well, how much would land go for? How much vacant land is there? And so they researched that too. And so ultimately somebody suggested, well, what if we build on rooftops? Because most of the roofs in our community are flat. And so then somebody said, yeah, but we need to grow year round. And so someone said, well, what if we build a greenhouse? And so then the question is, well, where are we going to build a greenhouse? And another student suggested, well, you know, what about the roof of the cafeteria? Our cafeteria is just one story. The rest of the school is two stories. And so the science lab looked over, as you looked out the window of our science lab, you could see the roof of the cafeteria. So if we place the greenhouse there, it would, in essence, end up being an extension of the science lab. I thought that was a wonderful idea. Again, student idea. And so we processed it as the administration. And it took us a while to be able...
Well, you had to raise money first.
That's right.
What, can I ask what it cost?
Yeah. Well, originally the thinking was that it was going to be about $160,000.
Mm-hmm.
But... once we, brought in architects, and once the building department demanded certain things in terms of
city of
Chicago,
yeah.
And actually, it ended up being a good thing. One of the things that they said was, "Well, we need to see the footings of the building." It turned out this building was built in 1910, so there were the code didn't require for there to be footings. So we had to retrofit footings. So consequently, the price tag went up to $320,000.
Whoa!
Yeah. So it was a pretty expensive greenhouse, but I'll tell you, it's been worth every penny. I got to tell you, though, Mike, that it took us about 2 years to raise the funds, but another 2 years of fighting with the zoning commission to allow us to build this greenhouse.
Gosh, that's such a surprise in the city of Chicago. I mean, I've had Zena Murray on the show from Logan Square Kitchen, and we went down that road about how hard it is to get things accomplished. So it took you three years to raise the money,
2 years to fight with the zoning commission, another year through the whole permitting process.
Mm-hmm.
But ultimately it was done. And last March, March of 2011, we had the grand opening. And it's been a wonderful experience, really, for the students. We have an 800-square-foot greenhouse. And in there, students, everything that we have in there has been germinated from seed by the students.
And by the way, you can see photos of this on my website, MikeNovak.net. Went there the other day, and we took some photos of the greenhouse, and Carlos and I there looking at some of the plants. And you're growing, of course, plants that are specific to the culture.
Exactly.
Not all of them, but a lot of them.
A lot, sure. Our school is, the majority of our students are Puerto Rican. And so what we have been working on is having students learn to grow all of the ingredients for something called sofrito. Sofrito is Spanish for sauté, mm-hmm. which is French for whatever.
Which is Polish for something else.
And so, but the concept is that the students are learning to grow these seven or eight ingredients that are the base of almost all Puerto Rican cuisine. And it's green peppers, red peppers, onion, garlic, oregano, And then something called ají dulce, which is the sweet version of the habanero pepper. It's the same family. And something called recao, which is known in U.S. markets as Asian coriander. But these are the eight ingredients, a really flavorful, aromatic concoction. Looks, once we process it, it looks like pesto. And that becomes the base of most of our cooking. And so we're having the students grow this because we want as I said, we try to make everything as relevant as possible. And so tying into the cultural component, I think, is really an important thing.
That is Carlos de Jesus, and we're talking about Dr. Pedro Albizu Campos High School in Humboldt Park. The greenhouse was not the end of it. It's actually just kind of the beginning. So I want to get to that as well. And again, if we got a lot of people tweeting in. Here's one right here, Carlos. Awesome. Kudos to your guest. It's all part of another tweet. It's all part of urban renewal. Has to be done. Here's another one. Baltimore has been declaring some of these lots abandoned. Huge sign up this spring for urban ag. So I wonder if that's something you could do. I'm glad to see that folks are responding to this. And of course, you know, anybody wants to say anything on the air here, 773-763-9278. We'll be back with that. And let's see how the computer works now. I'm giving it a shot.
I love gardening. What I don't love to see is deer and rabbits destroy my beautiful plants.
Why let your garden be destroyed? PlantSkid Repellent protects your garden, trees, and landscaping from wildlife damage. Made in the USA from 100% organic environment and pet-friendly ingredients, PlantSkid is the number one, most tested, most effective, and longest-lasting deer and rabbit repellent you can buy. It lasts up to 6 months over winter and 3 to 4 months during the active spring-summer growing season. Unlike other repellents, PlantSkid will not wash off in the rain and is guaranteed to outlast and outperform all other repellents. PlantSkid is OMRI-listed organic and is proven effective protection from deer, rabbits, squirrels, and other small rodents. That's why PlantSkid is used by leading forest companies, nurseries, and conservation agencies, and is member-tested and recommended by the National Home Gardening Club. Locate a dealer nearest you at PlantSkid.com. Proven plant protection. Guaranteed, or your money back.
PlantSkid. That's spelled plant, S-K-Y-D-D, PlantSkid.
In case you haven't been paying attention, this has been one of the most spectacular springs in years in Chicago, and is still going strong. Especially at Christy Weber Landscapes Farm and Garden Center. There are a lot of you who escape to the, they escape the Kennedy Expressway heading north every day. Sometimes, you know, I've been known to do it, especially if I'm headed over to Humboldt Park or to Logan Square. You know, you don't get on the freeway. You take Grand Avenue, okay? So that's what I'm going to suggest for you. Take a detour. Get on Grand. Go west to 2200. Stop in. Pick up a few annuals, perennial shrubs, or hanging baskets. Then head out of the city or wherever you live in the city. I was just there a few days ago, and the plant selection is spectacular. Hibiscus, patio trees, bougainvillea, grasses, and more. One of the things I noticed is that it's a petunia paradise because my buddy Jeannie Felknor loves petunias and other reasons. You're not going to believe that a place like this exists in the middle of the city. New pottery is in and older pottery is on sale. And you better say hello to the chickens, Starla and Buttercup, who just love to say hi to the customers. Christy Weber Landscapes Farm and Garden Center, 2200 West Grand Avenue in the Ukrainian Village. Look for the explosion of color.
Allergies acting up, trouble breathing, headaches, sinus pressure. You're tired, congested. Isn't it time to feel better? Breathe deeply and easily. Get rid of the symptoms that complicate your life. Dr. Bonnie Flaster is an acupuncturist and chiropractor who helps people get rid of allergies without using drugs, shots, or needles. Call Dr. Flaster at River North Wellness Center, 312-642-7545, or go to rivernorthwellness.com to find out how to get your body feeling better so you can enjoy life again.
Summer has arrived, and for many gardeners, that means heat, drought, and watering bans. Help your landscapes thrive despite these seasonal challenges with proper care and Milorganite fertilizer. Hi, I'm gardening expert Melinda Myers. Mulch the soil with a layer of organic material to conserve moisture, reduce weeds, and improve the soil as it breaks down. Water plants thoroughly and less frequently whenever you irrigate the garden. This encourages deep roots, making your plants more drought tolerant and pest resistant. Water early in the day to reduce water loss to evaporation. And be sure to use Milorganite for all your summer fertilization needs. The organic nitrogen is slow release and won't burn plants even during drought. Milorganite remains in the soil until the conditions are right for plant growth, including your lawn, so there's no need to water it in. Plus, the 4% non-staining iron promotes deep green growth. So choose Milorganite for better results naturally. Visit Milorganite.com for a garden center near you. That's Milorganite.com.
It's time for Dr. Wally's Tip of the Week, brought to you by Pesci's Garden Center in Des Plaines. Wally is not a real doctor, so why do I keep asking him questions about my joint pain? Anyway, the four-lined plant bug is easily identified. I hadn't even heard of this bug before. I didn't even know it was out there. It's called, that's what they, I guess they call it, the four-lined plant bug is identified by the four black strips or stripes running down its back. But it's not easy on fruits, vegetables, flowers, herbs, and cucurbits. Many of Pesci's customers have brought in plants that are covered with a series of ugly purple spots. It looks like a fungal disease, and it's often misidentified as such. It's usually not severe enough to cause the plant death, but it can disfigure it for the growing season. These little thugs are extremely agile and move quickly. You may never see the critter that is causing all the problems. For control, Wally suggests Dr. Earth Proactive Home and Garden Insect Spray, Bon Neem Insecticidal Soap by Bonide, and Japanese Beetle Killer RTU by Bonide. For more pest control information, stop by and visit Dr. Wally at Pesci's Garden Center. Just minutes off of I-294 at 170 South River Road in Des Plaines, or visit them online at Pesci's.com.
Are you passionate about fitness, nutrition, personal growth, or living a sustainable lifestyle? Natural Awakenings magazine is your local guide to a healthier, greener, and more balanced life. Each monthly issue includes timely articles about nutrition, alternative and holistic medicine, fitness for your body and mind, healthy pets, recipes, an extensive events calendar, and more. Natural Awakenings is available across Chicago and in the north and northwest suburbs. Get your free copy at wellness and fitness centers, health food and grocery stores, coffee shops, libraries, and wherever free publications are found. Or visit us online at www.nachicagonorth.com. Advertisers, Natural Awakenings magazine is the perfect way to reach health-conscious and green readers looking for businesses just like yours. Call 847-858-3697 today to learn more about advertising opportunities. That's 847-858-3697. Natural Awakenings magazine. Feel good, live simply, laugh more.
All right, you thought this was a commercial, didn't you? It's because this, yeah, see, Denny's going, Denny got faked out, right?
I was
going
to go buy a new car.
Exactly. Man, I hope they got rich off of this because, you know. But nope, that was just a musical bump. And we got a tweet here from
Coco Xochitl,
who's, I'm going to have Carlos, because I can't pronounce it. We had this pronunciation thing last week, but he's tweeting. He says, I'm pretty sure my Cali kids, meaning California, can outgrow Albizu Campos High School in a collard green jalapeno dahlia grow off.
That sounds wonderful.
It sounds
like
a great
invite.
I like that. That I think we ought to get a little competition going here.
That'd be great.
Because you guys are not just growing in the greenhouse now. You are expanding into the community, which makes sense. You've teamed up with some of the community gardens in the area and working with the Chicago Park District as well.
That's correct. One of the suggestions that the students came up with back 5 years ago is that they researched Humboldt Park and realized Humboldt Park proper, the urban park. They realized that it was composed of 209 acres. And they suggested that we sort of bogart some of that land to be able to develop a...
Hey, man, don't bogart that land.
I said, of course, we can't bogart the land, but we could certainly negotiate with the park district. And so we approached the park district about being able to get some of the land to be able to grow some edibles.
Mm-hmm.
And... at first, they were a little bit reluctant. We asked for 5 acres. They said,
"Are you
not really
kidding me?"
But ultimately, they came back and said, "Find a half acre that doesn't have another purpose, and we'll start there." And so we were able to find a half acre that we really liked.
It's next to the Puerto Rican Cultural Center.
That's right. The Institute of Puerto Rican Arts and Culture.
Yeah,
that used to be the Stables Building in Humboldt Park, if you're familiar. Way back before the 70s, there were horses in Humboldt Park. There were horse trails. You could go in there and rent a horse.
Mm-hmm.
But when the horses left, that gorgeous, gorgeous Scandinavian design building was severely underused. And so the community petitioned the city to have it converted into the Institute of Puerto Rican Arts and Culture. And that's what it is now. And so there's a half acre right in front of the institute that we asked the city to allow us to build an edible garden there. And the city allowed us. And so starting this past June, we got access to it. We started
a year ago June,
okay. Yes.
All right.
That was when we first got access to it. And even though we had got a very, very late start, we were able to harvest over 600 pounds of tomatoes and cucumbers and green peppers. This year... We expect to quadruple the output.
And who's working this garden?
It's the students and me.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So we're learning as we go, but I think we're doing a really good job.
And what are you using as your resources, to learn about how to do this?
Well, a lot of this is just initial research that I had to do. Once I saw that the students were really interested, then I had to sort of stay a week ahead of my students because, as I said, I hardly knew much about
agriculture. I usually stay about 3 minutes ahead of my listeners, okay? And so, sometimes I'm 3 minutes behind.
But I realized that there's expertise and there's no need to reinvent the wheel. And so one of the things that we did was we developed a partnership with the University of Illinois at Urbana, the School of Agriculture. And so that's been a really wonderful relationship. We also established a relationship with the Chicago Botanic Garden. And so we've gotten a lot of technical support, technical assistance from them. A lot of it is just learning as we go. We encourage the students to do research, and it's been a fairly wonderful experience. I will say that we ended up completely revamping our curriculum. Although we're an alternative school, we were teaching science in a fairly traditional approach. What we've done is we've integrated the science program, so biology, chemistry, and physics are taught at once, and we've focused on urban agriculture. And so it's not to say that all of our lessons are urban agriculture, but every concept that we teach, we try to see how it applies mm-hmm. to urban agriculture. And so consequently, the students are constantly learning about the principles of urban agriculture.
But you're also trying to take it into the marketplace. You have at the corner of Division and Washtenaw a storefront that where you want to sell produce, fresh produce. What's the status of that?
That's right. We're in the process of getting the licensing that we need. And so we hope that over the next couple of weeks, we're able to get fully licensed. And the concept is that we will establish a produce market there. at first, we will be buying wholesale locally and supplementing with whatever we grow in our gardens. As our capacity to grow increases, then we'll be buying less wholesale and you know, selling our own stuff. I mentioned that there are mom-and-pop grocery stores. There are 10 within a half mile of our school, 10 mom-and-pop grocery stores. One is a mid-sized grocer, but the 9 grocery stores that are mom-and-pop do not sell produce. And so the concept is that we will be providing those 9 grocery stores with produce on consignment. They will only pay us for whatever they sell. And so our students will be transporting and replenishing produce at each of these display stands 3 times a week. And whatever is just past prime, we will bring back to the store. We'll make smoothies of the fruits and perhaps stews from the vegetables. Whatever is not usable, of course, then we would use as compost. And so the concept is to be zero waste. We've gotten a really strong response from the corner grocers. And we believe that if indeed we're able to implement this plan, that for all intents and purposes, we'll have eliminated the food desert in our community.
That's amazing. And it started with high school students. And on Twitter here, they're talking up the challenge. There's some smack going on here, talking smack about the question. Asked Dr. DeJesus if he's involved with National Future Farmers of America, is it relevant for his kids in the city?
I am not directly involved, but I think part of what we're doing is one of the partnerships that we've established is with the Cook County Extension Office. And so the students are going to be learning about, you're familiar with the Master Gardeners program.
I am a Master Gardener.
Great. And the idea is that our students will become junior Master Gardeners.
Oh, okay.
In that sense, we will be engaging.
Well, you know, they're trying to get this competition going. So, mm-hmm. We'll have to talk more about that. Hang on just a second. We'll wrap it up. Here's a tip from the Care of Trees. A client from Chicago asked whether tree roots only go out as far as the branches on the trees. Well, the biggest and whether the biggest root is the one that goes straight down into the ground. Is that true? Well, it's a common misconception. The tree roots only extend as far out as the branches on a tree, commonly referred to as the drip line. In fact, they reach out much farther than that, and they're found basically in the top inches, 12 inches of the soil, not one long root that goes deep into the earth. Keep this in mind when you are considering construction around your home or office, such as building a deck or extension. It might seem as if the construction is far enough from the tree to prevent it from being damaged, but you don't know, which is why you should invite the certified arborist at the Care of Trees to take a look. Get their opinion. See thecareoftrees.com or call 847-394-4220, 847-394-4220, the Care of Trees, their business is people and their love for trees.
I love gardening. What I don't love to see is deer and rabbits destroy my beautiful plants.
Why let your garden be destroyed? PlantSkid Repellent protects your garden, trees, and landscaping from wildlife damage. Made in the USA from 100% organic environment and pet-friendly ingredients, PlantSkid is the number one, most tested, most effective, and longest-lasting deer and rabbit repellent you can buy. It lasts up to 6 months over winter and 3 to 4 months during the active spring-summer growing season. Unlike other repellents, PlantSkid will not wash off in the rain and is guaranteed to outlast and outperform all other repellents. PlantSkid is OMRI-listed organic and is proven effective protection from deer, rabbits, squirrels, and other small rodents. That's why PlantSkid is used by leading forest companies, nurseries, and conservation agencies, and is member-tested and recommended by the National Home Gardening Club. Locate a dealer nearest you at PlantSkid.com. Proven plant protection. Guaranteed, or your money back.
PlantSkid. That's spelled plant, SKYDD. PlantSkid.
Throw insect pests overboard with Cap'n Jack's Dead Bug Brew from Bionide as they beg for mercy. You can feel good that you've sealed their fate organically. Captain Jack's Dead Bug Brew contains spinosad, a pesticide derived from a naturally occurring soil bacterium. Spray Captain Jack's Dead Bug Brew directly on the insect or your plant to guard against chewing and sucking insects like bagworms, moths, loopers, leaf miners, thrips, and more. Arr. It's safe to use on vegetable gardens, annuals, perennials, berries, shrubs, and fruit trees, but always practice RAFLD, read and follow label directions. You can get Captain Jack's Dead Bug Brew at Pesci's Garden Center in Des Plaines, Platte Hill Nursery in Bloomingdale and Carpentersville, Illinois, Ebel's Ace Hardware in Homer Glen, or go to Bonai.com to find a retailer near you or to see a complete listing of all of the Bonai Garden Naturals line.
Spending more time at home these days? Give yourself some room. Renovate your basement or attic. You'll increase your living space and your home's resale value, too.
Trust DR Services Unlimited, 847-998-1687 for your remodeling needs, including additions, renovations, and other home improvements. Rated A-plus by the Better Business Bureau and recommended on Angie's List. DR is a proud member of NARI. DR provides exceptional quality at a fair price. Contact DR at 847-998-1687 or at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
We're still getting this challenge out there. This is great, according to Jay Chapsteaks. I want a real handle I can pronounce on Twitter. Anyway, she says a national grow-off would be cool. Our kids can stand with anybody, she says. All right. If you're a business, there's nothing better than a satisfied customer, and they have lots of them at Allsup. Home and nursery. Here's what Sandy O. from St. John, Indiana has to say. I have been a customer of the St. John Allsup store since their opening day. I find their staff to be quite knowledgeable when I need assistance with gardening questions. Recently, I discovered Allsup carries a wide variety of organic products for my lawn and garden. I shopped there last summer for a step two pond, which I totally love and makes the summer so enjoyable listening to the trickling of water. I purchased an umbrella for my picnic bench. I have checked around at other places for the umbrella and ended up coming back to Allsup Nursery because of the quality of the product. Besides normally shopping for annuals and perennials, roses and shrubs, bird baths, and live fish for my daughter's aquarium, I also purchased my dog food from Allsup. I got all my dog nutrition questions and concerns answered. Need we say more? Allsup Nursery is located in Frankfort, Illinois, on Route 45, just 2 miles south of I-80, and in St. John, Indiana, on Route 41, 4 miles south of Route 30. They're open today, Sunday, until 7 p.m. All right, we're in the home stretch here. Got a couple of minutes, and Carlos De Jesus from Dr. Pedro Albizu Campos High School in Humboldt Park. So you're going to sell produce. You're going to change the world. You're going to... and then you also want to buy land on the block and put up more greenhouses, like a 20,000 square foot greenhouse. Just how ambitious are you?
Well, I think it's been really wonderful to take ideas that came from students and really expand them and put them into action. And when we opened the greenhouse, we invited those 12 students that whose idea it was to build a greenhouse. And that was just a really wonderful experience. I mean, these were students that had graduated like 3 years before. And so we brought them in. And as I said earlier, the idea is to help students appreciate community, work to resolve issues in the community, and become community leaders. And so those 12 students certainly felt like community leaders when they saw that greenhouse.
I just and the Twitter goes crazy here during the show, and I really like that because I can sort of look over and see what's going on. And how do you pronounce that?
Xochitl.
Coco Xochitl. Writes, I bow down to Dr. De Jesus and his work. He says, if Ballhort or Seeds of Change won't give him seeds, then you should pitch him on air to donate. Well, you know what? I think everybody should donate. If you know, maybe one of my sponsors, Landreth Seeds, maybe we can get you some heirloom seeds.
Well, that would be so fantastic.
Yeah. All right. Well, then, any of my sponsors listening, give me a holler. We're out of time. Thank you, Carlos, for coming in. Great work. Congratulations. The greenhouse is wonderful. It's only going to go forward from here. And I think you're doing what you want to do, change the world.
It's been a total pleasure to talk to your listeners.
Total pleasure to talk to you. That's it for today. Join us next week. Until then, go green or go home.